Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I agree with you. I would not buy at the moment because houses are expensive and you don't want to get back in debt. I think it's better to wait. And you're 33. If you don't buy until you're 40, that's fine. There's nothing. That's fine.
Okay. You have to tell my husband that.
I'm going to tell your husband that. Okay. You're better off not being house poor, I think. Hi, all. I wanted to jump on here and tell you a little bit about the very exciting series that I have coming up with Lindsay Stanberry. If you are not familiar with her, you might not recognize her name, but you definitely have heard of her. She was the editor of Money Diaries at Refinery 29 and published the book Money Diaries. I was an expert in the book and it was published by Lindsay. And she has a really storied career working at CNBC and Fortune. So she's been in personal finance for a very long time. And so her and I are going to be partnering to do a mini series for the podcast. There are only going to be 6 slots available for women who are willing and ready to come on to the podcast, to this mini series, to talk candidly with Lindsay and I on video. So a little bit of fear factor there. We want you to be open and candid about your financial situation. And then you'll get both of our feedbacks. So you'll get mine as a CFP, but you'll also get Lindsay's as well. And she brings a lot of great experience and tenure in the personal finance space. And gosh, I mean, she's reviewed so many people's personal finance information and she'll come at it from a totally different perspective. So I think this is a great opportunity for any female or woman who's struggling with their personal finance and needs a second set of eyes or just wants to chat about their situation. We have 6 slots available total. We've already received a good amount of submissions, so we will probably close it very shortly. So if you're interested in being considered, please see the link in our profile and let us know what your concerns are, what you're working on, and how you think we can help. And I look forward to hearing from everybody. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am here with my guest today, Lola. Hi, Lola.
Hi, Barbara.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on. I am a big fan of the podcast.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. It's always so fun because, you know, we put it out and like, I don't know who listens. You know, I know there's people listening, but I don't know who they are. So it's always fun to hear and to meet listeners. So then you're familiar with the drill. So do you want to give us the rundown? So age, a relationship status, location, job, income, all that jazz?
Yes, definitely. I was so nervous to like submit to come on because I feel like when I listen, so many of the people are so good at saving their money. And I am such a spender. So I was like a little scared, but I think that you're going to be able to help me stop spending so much and start saving more, which is
no judgment. Everyone's it's not a race or a competition. Everyone's on their own path.
Yes. So I am 33 years old. I live in Los Angeles, so very expensive city.
Yeah.
I am married to an awesome husband and we have 2 kids. So we have a 4-year-old daughter and a 4-month-old son.
Oh, wow. A lot of little people.
A lot of little people. And it has been like a very big year for us because we originally lived about 30 miles east of LA, but we both work in the city and we were just doing that commute and like 30 miles in LA traffic is
a lot. How long does that take? Because that can take
like
a long time, right?
An hour, sometimes more. But last year we found out that my husband's office was going to be moving from downtown Hollywood into like, or downtown LA into like deep Hollywood. And so that adds like a lot more onto the commute. And so his commute, he was spending like over 3 hours a day in the car. And so
horrible.
It was really bad. And then I had just had a baby like right after the office moved. And so in that kind of like postpartum haze, we're like, this isn't going to work. So we sold our house and we moved closer, but now we're renting and our rent is like way more expensive than our mortgage was and childcare costs more. So it's all kind of hectic right now. And we're trying to figure things out and like get resituated.
Well, the good thing about childcare costs is they're temporary.
Yes, I have to keep reminding myself that. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it.
In the moment, it feels like indefinite, but no, it's definitely temporary. So that's good. Oh, wow. So you sold your house and then now are renting. And how long had you been in the house before you sold it? Just curious.
Like 4.5 years. So okay. Not super long time. We kind of have like this pattern in our lives of like going crazy, spending a lot, having a come to Jesus moment where we're like, oh my gosh, we're never going to get out of debt if we don't do something drastic. So then we do something drastic and pull ourselves out and then accumulate debt again. So we got married when I was 24 and we had like this big elaborate wedding that we like maxed out credit cards for and took out loans
all the things you should not do.
It was like probably like 50 or 60,000. And like 3 years later, we're like, oh my gosh, with this debt and our student loans, like we're just never going to dig ourselves out of this hole. So we moved out of our cute little downtown LA apartment and we moved in with his parents and they live
oh, wow.
60 miles east of LA. So we made Ooh. That commute of like 2 hours each way for a full
oh,
year.
My- God.
Yeah. And so it was good. Like we paid all this debt off and then we ended up purchasing our home back in 2018. But as I know you have experienced from hearing your stories on the podcast, things always come up when you get a home. And so when we purchased the home, we put down like every dollar that we had. We took out a loan from my 401k. And then 3 months later, we found out we had black mold in the kitchen and I was pregnant at that point and we had to totally gut the kitchen and do an entire kitchen renovation that we like put on credit cards and yada, yada. So
how much was that?
That was probably like 20 or 25,000. It was a lot.
That feels reasonable for a kitchen because sometimes you do like 70.
Yeah. We were in a townhouse and the kitchen was quite small. So that enabled it to be a lot less than I think what it could have been. But, you know, this last year when we knew that the office was going to be moving, we had a lot of big talks about like, do we want to look for different jobs? Do we want to move to a different city or a different state? And my husband works in commercial real estate and his specialty is really like the LA area. And so he said, you know, I love my job and I love where I work. And even if we're going to like pay more to have less, I want to still be here. So that's why we felt comfortable to sell and to move. But we just moved a month ago. So it's all kind of new.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, when we originally sold, our hope was like, maybe we can just buy something closer. Yep. But with the market being as crazy as it has been, I mean, we looked at a house that we considered putting an offer on and it went for like $300,000 over asking.
Oh so my gosh.
That's insane. It's crazy. And so, you know, our escrow was closing and we hadn't found a place. So we kind of just scrambled and found a house to rent, but we're still trying to figure out like, where are we going to land and what makes sense and how are we going to save to get a home again now that we're paying so much more for rent, you know?
And did you have a profit on the house sale?
We did have a profit on the house sale. I think it was probably about $120,000.
Okay.
But we have a lot of student loans. My husband has his master's and then I am a nurse. I had about probably when I graduated, like $100,000 in debt.
Okay.
But the difference was that my husband's were all federal loans and a lot of mine were private.
As I discovered
recently, a lot of mine were private at variable interest rates.
Correct. And with the interest rates moving, they've probably gone pretty high.
Yes. And so we took the proceeds from the sale. We paid off all of our credit card debt. We paid off all of my private loans. We just still have my
federal
loans, but okay. because I work for a nonprofit hospital, actually next month, I think I'll hit my 10 years.
Amazing.
For the public student loan forgiveness. So yep. that'll be gone, which is great.
Yep.
So what we've kind of, we're left with about, I think like 67,000 once we like paid off a bunch of things.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's good. So you made some money on that. So that was a good investment.
We did.
Then.
Yeah.
And there's no taxes on that because married filing joint, it was your primary residence. So you didn't owe yeah. anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're going to get the public loan forgiveness. Amazing. Okay. So I have your net tier. Tell just the listeners here, what is your annual income and what is your husband's?
Ours are very similar. So I am a nurse and I make about $130,000, $133,000 a year. And then he makes $135,000.
Is his variable being in real estate or is it pretty consistent?
No. So he works for a small team and he okay. is salaried. So
oh, okay, amazing.
It's pretty consistent. And oh, for like the way we do our finances, it's all joint. So like we just... All the money mm-hmm. goes into one account. We just kind of pay everything
Split
from
everything.
There. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk through then where we are. So your take home is every 2 weeks. So you get two extra paychecks. So your take home is $2,350 and your husband's take home, he has 24 pay periods. So his take home is $3,815.
Mm-hmm.
What do you both have coming out of there? Because it is a little bit of a discrepancy considering
yes.
the...
So I carry all of our benefits. So
okay, I was just
like
going to
medical,
ask.
Yeah. So I carry like medical, vision, dental. And then I also pay into an HSA. I do like the full amount for the health spending account. And
so
then,
$6,000 and change, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I also do the dependent care. Like yep. that's $5,000 a year. So I pay into that. So these take home amounts are like after everything comes
everything.
Out
Perfect.
And also after what we're putting towards retirement comes out.
Perfect.
So we
and
have not you... been great about retirement. So I get a match from my company of 3%. So I've always okay. just done the match of 3%.
Okay.
Last month after we sold the house, I was like, we're going to get better. And so we both upped it. So now I'm putting in 7% so that plus
oh,
the match
amazing.
It's a full 10.
Yep.
And then I had my husband switch his to be 10% as well.
And he gets no match at his.
Correct. And he didn't realize that like, because it's basically just him and one other person on payroll. So they don't
okay.
have a lot of options for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing all of his donation or his contributions after tax. And so then when he like sent me the screenshot to show me that he had changed it, I was like, wait, you have a pre-tax option. Like, let's do that. Like, why are we doing the post-tax?
Exactly.
So yeah. So he just switched it and now he's doing 10% as well.
Okay. Amazing. And you know, I feel like I say this all the time because I feel like I get a little bit heat of like not exclusively recommending the Roth, which I just don't agree with, you know, a black and white scenario. But you guys are trying to make your dollars go as far as possible at this time in your, this
right.
stage of life, right? With two young children and all the expenses that come with having children. So I'm a big believer in using the pre-tax to help offset
facilitate.
That.
Okay.
Yep. And then we can always go to post-tax later in life, you know. Because let's talk about your expenses and then maybe people will see my rationale a little bit more. So your
okay.
rent right now, so take home and you just, we kind of like have the other two paychecks for you hidden because you just gave me your total take home between both of you as if yours is 24, which is fine. So you're working with, because all your bills are monthly. So that makes the most sense, I think. So you're working with around $12,330 a month with
yes.
both of your incomes. And so
yeah,
then.
Because what we've done is like, my paychecks tend to be more of our like food and spending and that sort of thing. And we kind of mentally budget that like just every 2 weeks, which is why it
mm-hmm.
doesn't really feel like I have two extra paychecks
extra?
In a year
yes.
because I kind
yes.
of, we kind of are like, oh no, that's the grocery budget for the next 2 weeks and this and that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's totally fine. So we have around $12,330 coming in and then rent is $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was your mortgage before? Just curious.
It was like 23, I think. And then we had a $420 HOA. So it was still like, you know, $700+ less.
Okay. So yeah, so it's about $700 higher. Although as you talked about now, anything goes wrong, you call your landlord.
So yeah, which is happening all the time. Our electricity keeps going out because we're running the air conditioning. And the electrician was like, oh yeah, the electrical box on this place is like from the 50s. I'm like, okay,
oh
well, it's 100 degrees here. We need the AC. So we're trying to get that fixed.
And so fortunately, that won't come out of your budget. It'll come out of the landlord's budget. So that,
yeah.
But yeah, so 700 is a big number still. And so your utilities, so like internet, water, trash, gas, all of that comes to just over 500. So your monthly housing and utility expense is just over 4,000 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have a car loan for 776. And yes. Then car maintenance, so maintenance, gas, registration. I don't see insurance is there. Is that included under maintenance?
Oh, I did it separately. If you scroll down further, there's a separate insurance. I basically like stole your little layout from the like financial rock star budget and then created my own.
I was like, this is very easy for me to read, and it's just because this is how I break it down usually.
Yeah.
Okay, so then our car expense is 776 for the loan, car maintenance is 526, including gas, and then we'll go down to all the insurance at the bottom, which is inclusive of car insurance, and then commuting we have $80, cell phone 190. Now this is childcare. This is what we're talking about, what kids are expensive with two working parents. Childcare is basically $2,500 a month, which is like where, this is why I wanted to ask what your previous mortgage is. So it's almost it's a mortgage payment, basically. You've rented a mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah.
This expense is temporary. Are the kids going to public school?
Yeah. The 4-year old, this will be her last year, and then she'll start kindergarten and it'll be public. So that'll be great. The baby, so that $900 is because I only have him in 2 days a week.
Oh.
And then I'm just going to work those 2 days because I, as a nurse, I do 12-hour shifts. And then I also have to work weekends too to make this work. So ideally, like in the future, I would get more days of daycare so that I don't have to work all the weekends too. But
because then your husband's watching,
just like, yeah, on the weekends.
On the weekend. Okay. So would that expense then, when she goes into kindergarten, would that expense then for your son go to 1500? Is that
hopefully not that high, but I think it will go higher than what it is right now, because I think we'll do more than just 2 days of care.
2 days.
But we'll see. I mean, it also kind of depends on where we're at financially and like what the goals are. Like if I need to keep working a lot of weekends for a little while.
But then
you don't really
get to see your husband then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not ideal.
No. So what if we what's your full-time schedule? 412? It feels like a lot.
So I do 5 shifts in a 2-week period. So I basically am working like every other weekend and sometimes having to, like if I have to go to the doctor's or something during a weekday, then I would pick up another weekend shift if I can't get the weekday shift.
Okay. So then maybe we budget for daycare for your son, like 1200.
Yeah. I feel like that feels reasonable.
Okay. So at least we'll get back basically 312. Yeah. Half. So yeah, if we get back half in your budget, that would be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have childcare expenses, like diapers, 120, all insurance. So renter's insurance. I like to see that we both have life insurance.
Yeah. That's from listening to you talk about term life insurance. I was like, yes, we need to do this.
Yes. Cause you don't want, God forbid, you have two minors who like, it's not like they can go out and support themselves. So God forbid something happened to either one of you, or in a worst case scenario, both of you, there needs to be money to support the children, right? Because it's one thing to lose your parents and then that's a horrible tragedy, but then to combine it with a financial tragedy on top is just really, really awful. And it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Statistically unlikely, but you want to just, God forbid it were to happen, to at least prevent one portion of it. And then for food, we have $1,200. And then student loans, we have zero at the moment.
Yeah.
goes, but yours will be gone and after a year. And how much will your husband have remaining?
Mine will be gone in like a month. So
that's
great. Okay, and that's why I'm like not even budgeting for that.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
My husband just like logged in and was looking at the repayment options. And, you know, he can pay anywhere from like $500 a month to like $2,300 a month. And it like breaks down like how much you're going to pay in interest.
Yep.
And so he was looking at an option that was like $1,400 a month, so that it would cut down like the length of time and what we're paying in interest. But then I also don't know, like things are so tight in our budget already that even though we're going to pay more in interest, I wonder if we don't just take like the lesser payment for now until things.
And what are the interest rate? Like what's his average interest rate? And also what amount that he owes?
He owes $8,100 and
total?
It's currently at a, yes. No, I'm sorry. $81,000.
I
wish it was $8,100. You're like, it's fine. We'll get this done in no time. No, $81,000. My correction.
Okay.
And it's at 6.875%.
Okay.
And he was previously just paying $500, which is why like that amount really hasn't changed over the last decade.
Yeah, because I was going to say he's just been paying off the interest really probably.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
And so when he looked into the different options, they kind of showed him like, if you only pay the $500, you know, you're going to pay for 25 years and pay so much money in interest. Whereas like if he paid $1,400, we'd be done paying on it in about 5 years and pay a lot less interest. So
if $1,400, and you're going to hate this because that's basically what we get back, we're going to spend the daycare, it'll be gone in 5 years.
Or 6 years, 6 years. It says payoff date October 2029.
Okay, let's just bookmark that for a sec. Okay, and yours is done. So that's great. So we've gotten a lot. If you think about it, you've gotten a lot of debt paid off. You got the credit cards paid off, your private loans paid off, your federal loan will be done in a month. So we just have this one loan that we need to kill.
Attack. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's go to your non-essentials. So the total essential spending is roughly 10,000, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I have here?
Yeah.
Okay. And then our non-essential, we have gym, fun money. I love that you put cosmetic and apparel because like it's so rarely in people's budget. And it definitely happens.
Yeah.
And then some subscriptions, donations. And so that amount comes to, we'll just round down a little, $1,400. So the remainder monthly is $895.
Mm-hmm.
So not, you know, if you break that down to weekly, you have like a $200 extra a month, which as we know, with two little people, that can go pretty quickly.
Right.
Our next partner is AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I was tired of taking so many supplements and I wanted a simple solution to boost my immune system support. I take it first thing in the morning before I even have my coffee and it makes me feel ready to take on the day. As a very busy entrepreneur and with recent health challenges, it is super important that I'm able to get immune system support because I don't have time to get sick. If you're looking for a simpler, effective investment for your health, try AG1 and get 5 free AG1 travel packs and a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out today.
And this is also like not like I don't have anything under savings. Like I really want to be putting something. I mean, we're saving for retirement, but like I want to grow
an
emergency fund or like a future house fund. So that's why this budget gives me stress.
Well, let's talk about your assets. So the great thing about the house sale was you were able to pay off a ton of debt and you still left over from after paying off debt. You have $67,000 in savings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. So you have a solid emergency fund.
Yeah.
And then with your retirement, between the two of you, you have $115,000 saved. But you've also just increased that recently pretty substantially because you were both doing 3% and now you're both doing 7 and your husband's doing 10. Well, you're both at 10 basically. Yeah. Okay. So that's a pretty big increase too. So I'm on the fence. 6.87 is a pretty high interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now how, okay. So with this rental, do we think that like, is it a 1 year lease? Like do you?
Yeah, it's a 1 year lease. And like, I think this is what's hard too. When we moved mentally, we were like, we're just going to buy another place. Like we'll just sign this lease. It's only going to be 12 months and we're going to buy another place and move out of here. But now that we're like looking at the numbers, I feel like we would put ourselves back in a situation that we were in last time where we would put every dollar in savings to like a down payment. And I don't want to do that. But I also don't know that I want to stay here because like before we signed the lease, I didn't actually drive here and my Prius can't make it up the driveway. Like it is so steep that I have park on the street and carry the kids up and carry the groceries up. So I don't know that I see us being in this rental.
So I don't know the rental year. Is it possible to get a rental where your rental is like $2,500 a month or $3,000 a month? Is that feasible? Like, does that exist?
It exists, but those are probably like 2-bed, 1-bath apartments.
Okay.
And it, with the two kids, it's a little tough. Like we're in a 3-bed, 1-bath place. I mean, it would probably be possible for us to, once the baby is a little bit older and sleeping through the night, to room the kids together.
Kids together. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that we could definitely try to find something.
Okay, I'm trying to. Okay, so I'm trying to see where we can finagle we can finagle the budget a little. I'm just looking at the car loan. So the car payment's also really high, 776.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the interest rate on that is 3.5. Is there any way to extend the term on that? Because that's here's what I'm trying to maneuver. If we could reduce the monthly payment on the car loan, the interest rate on the student loan is almost double.
Yeah.
Right. So like, right. I'd rather be attacking that earlier than later and extend the car loan. Like do you see what I'm saying? Like, is there any, I don't know what that period of time is on that, but you have a 3.54% interest rate. Is there any way we pay less on that?
Like, definitely something we could look into. I hadn't even thought of that.
Because if we could
drop my husband's car, so I'm not sure exactly how long like that payment is going to be over. So, but I can talk to him and figure out if we could see about that. That would be great.
Because also that will go away because that's, 3.5% is a, so here's what I'm thinking. If we're looking at your budget, that's a big number, right? Because then like with car maintenance and insurance in LA is going to be really high because your car insurance is like almost 400.
That payment should go down because we were paying 290 because it was bundled with our home insurance. And then once we dropped the home insurance policy, they were like, oh, okay, we're going to jack that back up. So that policy ends next month. So I'm going to shop around for other policies because I'm hoping I can find something less than that.
Okay, that would be great. Because even if you got, I mean, you want to make sure you have good insurance. If you have you want to, if you got an LA with driving, car accidents happen, it's not like you're driving on some back road where, you're not going to see another car.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm thinking is even if you got saved $100 a month on the car insurance, so that gets the daycare savings is $1,200. Now we have $1,300 back in the budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when does the car loan go away? Because if that then drops off, then so like, here's what I'm thinking. So we get $1,200 savings from childcare, $100 from the car insurance, that's $1,300. Then if the car loan goes away, you have $2,000 back in your budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure the when that loan will go away. I have to find that out. But
so yes, even if you pay, here's what I'm thinking: if we just like a domino effect. So if we start with we meet in the middle somewhere between the 500 and the 23. Let's say we pay 750 on the student loan, and we have let's say you shop around the car insurance, and we get a policy where you're able to save a little bit, and then with the daycare. So we're taking up the 1300 or getting, 700 of that is going towards the student loan, right? For the next, until the car loan goes away. And then when the car loan goes away, that money goes right on the student loan.
Mm, okay.
So then that takes the payment. Sense. So for the next couple of years, we pay 700 until the car loan goes away. And then we put 1400 on the student loan. Yep.
Okay.
And then at that point also then let's say that's in 4 years, then we also have another child coming out of childcare.
Yeah, which would be
it. So it just all starts to get a little easier. So it's just going to be a bit tight with the childcare and the car loan. And I agree with you. I would not buy at the moment because houses are expensive and you don't want to get back in debt. I think it's better to wait. And you're 33. If you don't buy until you're 40, that's fine. There's nothing. That's fine.
Okay. You have to tell my husband that.
I'm going to tell your husband that. Okay. You're better off not being house poor, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you get into a home, and some of the homes in LA are really old from what I've seen, right?
Oh, yes. Like 19,
yes. So, okay. So what I would do is use the childcare money that comes back, any savings from the car insurance, and half that amount goes to the student loan. Then now we have a buffer of, let's just say, $700 back in the budget. And then that $700, because right now you have leftover, which, you know, is $900. But then between that, now we have so let's just say that stays a buffer. And from the childcare savings and the car insurance, half goes towards the student loan and the other half goes towards savings. Mm-hmm. So then you're getting like $600 or $700 a month, depending on the month, into an emergency fund.
Okay.
So then you're not only saving 10% in retirement, but then you're saving monthly as well. And of your emergency fund, you could leave 45 maybe in, you know, pure cash. And then you could invest a little bit of it, maybe 20. I want to be conservative. And then all the new money gets invested. So the $700 a month, if you break that down, like $350 a pay period, that gets invested. And so then you have the non-retirement, and then you also have the emergency fund, and then you have you have the non-retirement, the emergency fund, and the retirement. So you have three train cars going.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things start to get easier, like for instance, now the car loan is gone. Now we up the student loan payment to $1,300 and then we up the non-retirement savings to $800, right? You just keep tackling as things get easier.
Okay.
And then once the kids, I think your opportunity to buy, honestly, if I'm looking at this, is when your youngest is out of daycare.
Yeah.
Because then from a cash flow standpoint, that this is your biggest spend. That's a mortgage.
Yeah, totally.
And that gives you the next youngest. So like four, even if it's in the last year of daycare, so in the next 4 years, I would focus on getting rid of the car payment, tackling the student loans, and increasing the non-retirement savings. Because if you do, let's just say we're able to do $700 with the child, you know, with your daughter going to kindergarten and splitting the difference there. So we're able to do $700 a month for the next 48 months, right? Which is 4 years. That's another $33,600 that you're going to save. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say the market goes up and that gets you to 50 and you start it with 20. There's $70,000 for a down payment with still having an emergency fund and with having retirement.
Okay.
And at that point now, when you get into a home, you put a good amount down, you're used to saving monthly, which is important with a home because you have that $700 that could go towards home repairs and maintenance because you still have a preserved, right? You have the down payment, which was separate than the emergency fund, which you still have intact. You don't have credit card debt. At that point, you only have a few more years left. Ideally, let's say you have 4 more years. Let's say it takes 8 years to pay off that student loan at that number, right? Mm-hmm. Then that goes away. The childcare cost goes away. The car payment is gone. So if you look at your current budget versus where you'll be in, let's say 4 to 5 years, you have another $3,000 back in your budget.
Yeah.
And then you're not paying $3,500 in rent. That's $6,500, right? Do you see how it all just slowly gets easier by not rushing it?
Yeah. And being a little more patient.
Being more patient. I think you're better off waiting 4 years till you only have at least 1 year left of childcare. And at that point, I'm assuming that car loan will be done. 776, let me just see. I think that car loan is only like 4 or 5 years at 776 times 12. It's 9,000. Yeah, that car loan should be like another 6 years. So at that point, in 4 years, you have 2 more years left of these other payments, right, that are going to be sunsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, the childcare is almost done. So you have a lot more money coming back into your budget. So I would say I wouldn't start looking for another house until at least 4 years out, because that gives you the money to time. $700 a month allows you to save for a down payment, right? Outside of the emergency fund, your retirement will be better. And then all of these big expenses are going away in year six, I believe. I think the car loan is gone in year six. The student loan should be gone in year six, and the childcare.
Okay.
It's a lot of money.
I mean, that's a ton of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels a lot more hopeful.
Yeah. And then from there you can ramp up. So I think that the key is, and this is, you've probably heard me do this on other podcasts. The key is getting through the childcare years. That's your key. Don't take on any more financial obligations until we're done with the childcare. That is a mortgage payment by itself. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the car payment, and then the student loan should sunset. And then we'll just say, we were estimating $1,200 on childcare. So the student loan payment goes away at $1,400, the $776 goes away, and the $1,200 goes away. I mean, that's a ton of money back in your budget. That's a mortgage right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have a completely different budget then.
With what we have right now in savings, so you think it would be a good idea to take some of that and invest it and just keep like $4,500 or so as like cash?
$45,000. I think you could, so of $67,000, to be very conservative, you could leave $50,000 as your emergency fund and $17,000 could go invested. And then in the invested portion, I would be adding the $700 a month to it.
Okay.
Because then that will get us, that should get you in the next 4 years, just with the $700 a month, that'll get you another $33,000.
Wow.
Okay. And then plus the $17,000 that you already had in there, that's $50,000. So that equals $50,000 with no market growth. In 4 years, I would hope after there the market you've had, you'd have some market growth. So let's just be conservative and say maybe that goes up to $65,000. So now you have money for a down payment. You have $50,000 as an emergency fund. And over the next 4 years, you're still each doing 10% into your retirement, which is another combined $20,000 per, because it's, 10% of your salaries, we'll just estimate it's $13,000 each, right? Times two. Yeah. Okay. So that's 26 times four. So now your retirement accounts have doubled at minimum just by your contributions. So now we have $200,000 between the two of you in retirement. We have $50,000 in an emergency fund. And we ideally have like 60-ish for a down payment fund, right? And then this is with keeping your budget around the same. We're just rejiggering a little, right? That's with taking the $1,200 we have saved from childcare, right? $700 is going towards savings and $500 is going towards the student loan. And then as expenses start to get better, right? So we save a little on the car payment, that we split the difference between those two. And then your son will eventually go to kindergarten and we save that $1,200. The $776 will eventually go away probably in around 5 years. Everything will just start to get easier. And that's the time to buy a house.
Okay.
So yeah, it's really once we get the youngest into 4.5 school. Years into school, because that money goes back into the budget, and then you could swing a mortgage of $3,000 or $3,500 even, right? And the numbers just keep getting better.
Yeah.
And then down the road, I would say in year 6 or 7, when the student loans are done, right? When that payment goes away and the childcare goes away and the car payment goes away, then we start upping retirement.
Okay. That makes sense.
Does that feel comfortable?
It does. It makes it like, I think that we kind of get impatient and like, well, if we don't buy this now, the prices are just going to keep going up and, we've just got to make it happen. But the reality is, we've already been in a situation where we felt so stressed financially with the mortgage and with everything happening. And with what we are paying towards childcare, like remembering that that isn't forever is helpful.
Four years
is actually not that far away.
No. Yeah. And then, that like, this is a little bit tight, the $3,500 for rent and the $2,500 for childcare, and it's gone in 4.5 years. Plus at that point, the car payment's almost done. And if we add that back in, let's say that goes away in year 6, I mean, then, so that, we'll just say that's $800 and you're saving a little bit on the car insurance. But then, so between the rent plus the childcare plus the car payment, which will go away around then, it's $6,800 a month between those.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So even if you got a mortgage for like $4,000, you're still going to have utilities, right? I mean, we have utilities of $500 a month. So like you'll be way more comfortable. So it's better to not rush it and be prepared for it financially. Because I think what will happen is if you get into it too soon, you're going to end up accruing debt, which like you've been through that cycle and it's stressful and you're going to have to reduce the retirement. So everything else will suffer for that.
Right. And that's also not, that's assuming that our salaries don't change, which like
correct.
They will, you know?
Correct, they will. Yeah, that is assuming the salaries don't change. Yeah, I think the key here is to save, try and get the $700 a month to save towards that down payment. Put 17, you can start it with, fund it with 17,000. We have 50 ready to go emergency fund in a high yield savings account, which you already have. So we're not going to jeopardize that. And then you start saving $700 a month, and I would just do $350 every 2 weeks. Technically, you already have that in your budget, but mm-hmm. that will be from the childcare saving with your daughter going to school. And then with, if you can shop around and get, save a little, even if you save $50 on the car insurance.
Right. It's helpful.
It's helpful. And then we're splitting that daycare, whatever you're saving on daycare, we're splitting that between the student loans and the non-retirement savings. And then you're in a good spot. Then we just make it 4 years. That's the goal. Like, don't do anything crazy. That we just need to get through the next.
That's going
to
be our motto. Don't do anything crazy.
Anything crazy. Yes. Don't do anything crazy.
Yes.
This is perfectly fine the way it is. We just need to get through the 4 years. And when the lease comes up, we just want to stay in that vicinity of where you are with rent. We just want to keep everything status quo for the next 4.5 years. And if you get raises, split the difference. So if you get a 2% raise, a half goes into retirement, 1% goes in for retirement, 1% goes to you. Always split the difference. Some for today, some for tomorrow.
That sounds good. And then I know like zero about investing. So like, where would you recommend as resources to figure out like how to invest that money?
That's a great question. You want to do something that's very basic and very conservative. So nothing exciting. So you want to, what I always like to say is there are, and you can look this up, there are a handful of mutual fund companies that have been around like 80, 90 years. Look for them. Look for the most conservative, basic, boring. The way to make money, the way you make money long-term is not exciting, nor like should it be. We want boring, long-term. And a nice way to look at it is when you look in your 401k, you'll see some name brands in there, you know, companies that have been around a long time. You want to look for somebody that's 80, 90 year track record. They know what they're doing. Not to say history is indicative of future, but there's something to be said for a company that's been investing in the market for 80 or 90 years. Like we want nothing new and exciting. I hear some people come on the show and there are some like really exciting things out there now. That's great. Let somebody else practice on that. You know, we just want something conservative, and you can look historically when you pick a company that's been in the market for 80 or 90 years, you can see, for instance, what their historical return has been for 10, 15, 20 years. Look at that.
Looking at historical returns. Okay.
Yeah. Look at historical returns. You also want to see how people did in a down year, right? Everybody makes money when the market's up. It's pretty easy. It's how did you do in the down year? Everyone's going to have a down year, and you want to see that they didn't go down quite as far as the market did, and that they recovered the next 2 years. Usually it takes 2 years to come back from a down year typically.
Okay.
And that's why I would do that, like a very little amount of that money, right? The majority of it, the 50,000 is going to stay in a high yield saving. Yeah. It's just going to stay there because when an emergency happens, like, you know, people for like COVID had their emergency funds invested. Well, that was a pretty terrible time if you lost your job in March of 2020, and then your emergency fund was down 20%. Like, that's not ideal.
Totally.
And you'll see when you look through your 401ks at your retirement through work, you'll also see those name brands in there too.
Okay.
So if there's like a investment inside of your 401k that you really like that's done well, you could just mimic that.
Okay, perfect. This feels doable. I'm going to have my husband listen. It does feel doable. I'm going to have my husband listen to this episode. And I think it's a good plan. It feels like, you know, we can still get the house that we want. We just need to be a little bit patient.
Patient. Yeah. Because you think about it, once childcare is gone, if we're only looking at childcare, not including the car or the student loan eventually going away, let's say student loan goes away 6 to 7 years or even 8 years. And the car is probably around 6 years, give or take, just with childcare going away. You have a lot of money for housing. Even if you took half of that, then your housing expense, like if we split the childcare and just say it's $2,500 and we have $1,250 to put towards housing expense, then $3,500, right, is what you're currently paying. Then you have $4,750.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So it's just about, and I tell everyone when they're in the childcare expense of life, you just got to get through it and not make any big financial don't take on any more financial obligations. You're literally paying rent and a mortgage is the way I would look at it.
Okay.
And so once that one mortgage goes away, you can get one.
We can actually get one. Yeah, exactly.
You can get one. And it'll go fast too. And I think with your finances, sometimes the right choice is the less exciting choice, right? Which is status quo, maintain the existing budget, start saving a little bit from the savings you're going to find by, you know, your oldest going into school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the least exciting thing that's going to drive the best results long term.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because also, like, we have diapers on there. Diapers go away. Eventually. Yeah.
diapers are expensive. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. And then if you find, and we can have you back on, but then ideally we find a mortgage amount that's like around 4,000, right? That would be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to save more at that point. We'll just ramp up retirement. Everything will just start to snowball.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels doable. It feels good.
Good. Yeah. Cause I actually think it's really good. You sold the house and you paid off a bunch of debt. Cause I think it would be too stressful with a house and the childcare expense. Cause like, as you said, like you can't live with black mold. You just can't do that.
Totally.
So, well, amazing. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And you have a wedding coming up soon, right?
No, it just happened. I got married.
It just happened.
Again. Yes. On Saturday.
Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just still in the post-wedding. I don't know how you were. I'm like just physically exhausted. I never expected to be so tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tired. But it was so fun.
Good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And for all of our lovely listeners, you can follow us on Instagram for our most up-to-date information at Future Rich Podcast.